Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
Uh-oh. Welcome to Smooth Drama. Yeah. New Orleans Saints. Who that talking about beating them Saints? But before I get all crazy and start bigging up my team, I want to holler at y'all and say, hey, I want you to call me. 646-929-2037. I'm on the high. You can't take me down. But I do still want to hear O37. Once again, that number is 64. All right, let's start this over. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. We had a little technical snafu there, but we are back. Back in full force, as a matter of fact. So, once again, the number to call, 646-929-2037. Once again, the number to call is 646-929-2037. Also, if you want to email me your thoughts and concerns, you can email me at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, you can email me dick@smoothdrama.com. Also, if you're in one of the chat rooms, whether it be our Blog Talk chat room or our Smooth Drama Live chat room, in live stream, post your questions there, and definitely I will answer them, because I'm pretty good on that. I like to hear what y'all got to say. New Orleans Saints, who that talking about beating them Saints? Who that? What? Yeah, I thought not. We going back to the bowl. I know it's just one win. I ain't supposed to get all souped up, but I'm pumped up. We won the game, even though I almost had to get in my car and drive down to New Orleans to choke that field goal kicker out. But it's all good. And speaking of good, I had the pleasure of watching the United States play against Russia today. I know a lot of people aren't paying attention to the World Basketball Championships, but it's actually been pretty good ball. And the United States team, the so-called Junior League, B-League team, as people are calling it, they out there kicking ass and taking names. Everybody was concerned, but they out there putting it down. Now, obviously, if they lose next game, oh, it's the greatest meltdown ever. But as it stands right now, them boys is looking good, and Kevin Durant is looking like a damn beast. He is out there beast. I mean, he had 30-some points in it. I didn't even think that he shot that much. He just like, yeah, I get 30 in my sleep, no biggie. Jumper after jumper. He's like, it's like George Gervin had a son, and he grew up a couple inches taller than him. Because as Kevin Durant, I just score, no biggie. It is all good. And speaking on that, going back to the Saints, now, I know a lot of people, maybe you've been paying attention, maybe you haven't been paying attention, about Reggie Bush and the whole, they going to take his Heisman away because he was ineligible and he was getting money. I'm like, who hasn't gotten any money from the NCAA? College football in general. You know, I'm just salty behind college football because, I'm sorry, college football, it's not even a real sport to me. I know some people are like, what the fuck are you talking about, Dick? But I'm sorry, it's not a real sport because what? They vote for their champion. They don't have a playoff where they play that shit out on the field. I'm sorry. I mean, if that was the case in basketball, NCAA basketball, we'd have North Carolina and Duke in the Final Four every year because they look the most impressive. Now, not to get off the whole thing, but I think it's funny that NCAA and the so-called BCS, which I like to commonly call a reference as the bullshit championship series, they're talking his Heisman has to go away. And we're talking about an organization who nobody graduates. I mean, we just put it out there. Nobody graduates. I mean, it's rare that you see a guy graduate. What, the graduation percentage is, what, about 20-30% in the NCAA overall? Now, some of that, of course, is the players' concern, obviously, because you, as a student, you do have to kind of be in class and doing your work and whatnot. We know that they're there because they want to play sports and nothing else. But for them to be hypocrites and all the money that they get from these kids, the jersey sales, I mean, I'm going to guess that Reggie Bush sold more than enough jerseys for USC, the NCAA, where whatever money that they're talking about that he got, he earned that for the university 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And on top of that, the fact that, one, the kids don't get a touch or a taste of what they sell is a travesty. And then, to make it worse, coaches, I mean, there's no penalty for Pete Carroll, who left. One second. Yeah, there's no penalty for the coaches. There are no penalties for anyone involved in that matter. Black Steel, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Dick Hugger?
I'm good, man. I'm sitting up here, you know, I'm regaling in my New Orleans Saints winning, but also I'm sitting up here talking about the hypocrisy that's the Reggie Bush, we going to take his Heisman away for getting money.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think it's kind of funny that we're talking about taking the Heisman away from him and invalidating everything, and they're, of course, they're going to penalize the kid who wasn't even there and had nothing to do with it. I'm like, if you want to penalize somebody, penalize the university by taking the money away. Because that's what, they got that money because they had the ineligible player. And I say, you take the money away from her, and it'd be all good.
Yeah, definitely, because a lot of that money was generated from, you know, when they played in the national championship game and, you know, and all the hype about the Heisman and, you know, and all these bowl games that they play in, that's where the money comes from. You know, the school gets the money, builds the library, builds a swimming pool, you know, whatnot, funds all these programs, and then, you know, it's, like you said, if the NCAA went back and said, hey, we want that money back, what do you think the school's going to say?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, That's the whole point. And them talking about taking the Heisman from me, I just think that it's funny. It's rather hilarious. You know, the double standard. They're talking about, oh, we're going to give it to Vince Young. I'm like, I'm Vince Young. I don't want that shit.
Yeah, why are you going to give it to me now?
Right. It's like, yeah, I'm Vince Young. I'm like, I feel like I should have got it. But I'm sure he was happier with the national championship trophy.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because that would make me happier, the Heisman or the national. Because it seems like if you win the Heisman, you're going to suck in the NFL.
Yeah, pretty much.
It seems like if you win the Heisman, your career ain't going to be about shit.
Yeah, look up the list of people that won the Heisman Trophy, and, you know, you see where their careers went. A lot of them, man. We, you know, where I come from, I had a homeboy, you know. I'll put it out there. A friend of mine, somebody I hung out with, won the Heisman Trophy, and his career didn't last too long in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. You're talking about San Diego native Rashawn Salaam.
Exactly, Rashawn Salaam. When, you know, at Colorado, he won the Heisman. He went to Chicago, had a, you know, his rookie year was okay. His second year, he got hurt. His third year, he was there, they cut him. And then at that point, he bounced around.
Yeah, I mean, at least he had a couple calls. I mean, we look at Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, I remember they had the big controversy over Reggie Bush. When the Texans picked that lineman, Williams, everybody was like, oh, my God, they're tripping. The dude is all-pro lineman, 10 sacks every year. Reggie Bush rushed for about 600 yards last year?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah, he hasn't set the world on fire, and he's on my team, but the reality is Heisman Trophy winner, no. Doesn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, it's almost better that you don't win the Heisman Trophy so you can go on and have a better career. Because a lot of times it's like it's the stigma over your head, like, oh, you won the Heisman, so you're the best player, so you got to go out in the NFL and be the best player. Look at Adrian Peterson. He didn't win the Heisman Trophy. He was hurt most of his senior year. But he came out and he's been a better runner than anybody that came out in his class.
Right. Yeah, it's a long list. I remember Gino Toretta when he beat out Marshall Faulk for the Heisman. I'm thinking I'd rather have Marshall Faulk's career over Gino Toretta's career.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, we see it happen all the time, and that's just how it is.
Now, I get off sports here for a minute. I saw something. Now, you as a family man, you know, somebody got family to protect, whatnot. I was reading in Long Island. I want to ask your opinion on this, Black Steel. There's a Long Island man who was arrested for defending his home with an AK-47. See, what happened was he walks out the house, and there were some people that was in his yard. So, you know, and they were so-called gang members, and I guess they're part of some gang called the MS-13 in New York, whatever. So he goes upstairs, he runs back in the house, gets his AK-47. He goes outside in the doorway, and the kids are in the driveway near his house, and he tells them, hey, leave. They said they dared him to use the gun, and he shoots the AK in the air. Some more kids come, and he gets arrested by the cops when the cops come because he was charged with felony reckless endangerment, which, according to the cops, it requires a depraved indifference to human life, creating a risk that someone's going to die. Now, for me, I know how I feel about that. I mean, obviously, if somebody's in my yard and you're in my yard, you're lucky I mean, he shot in the air. I'd be shooting at you.
Exactly. First they're in the yard, then, you know, next they trying to come in the house. Then what?
Right.
You know, if you get them out in the yard and you handle that outside, you ain't got to worry about them coming in the house.
Right. Well, I mean, it's funny because he has the gun and they're daring him to shoot. Now, this is according to him, mind you, so we want to make sure that we clarify that. This is according to him. But I still think it's compelling that, you know, he can't defend himself and his family.
Well, you know, the First Amendment does tell us we have the right to bear arms.
Yeah, but this is one of the situations where it's stuck in between. I'd be curious to see how other people felt about it, because it's one of those situations where you're like, okay, they didn't necessarily come into his house, so technically by the law standard, they were innocent.
Yeah, and then, too, they may look at the type of weapon that he had. Like, if he had a handgun versus an assault rifle, you know, that might be able to come into question there too. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of them situations where I think that he was right. And
he was definitely right.
Yeah. Now, on top of that, now, just watching the game and watching these other games, is it me? Or are there a lot of fucking cop shows that are out here?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of cop shows.
I mean, it was, at first it was like Law and Order. There was like 15 Law and Orders and CSI. Then they came out with Bones, and now there's Chiseled and Isle, and now there's Detroit 187, Chase, Memphis Beat. I'm like, as a society, do we like the cops that much?
Well, somebody do. I don't, preferably, you know, they ain't at the top of my list. So.
I watch Law and Order, but it's like, you know, and a lot of times I find myself looking at it like, yes, these cops and dirty asses and how they set folks up. You know, but we have so many. It's a different. We're on a different level.
And you know, then that goes back to the TV. You know, the TV studios. You know, what kind of research are they doing? You know, to find out, you know, what kind of shows they're going to put on. Does everybody say, "Hey, we want to see the police take everybody to jail"?
Yeah,
you know, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to. I'm at the point where I'm at cop overload. You know, especially these cop shows in particular. It's like we're talking to police, and it's every channel has at least 2-3 cop shows. Every channel,
and not to mention the reality shows. You know, first it was Cops, and then, you know, it was America's Most Wanted. You know, now you have Parking Wars. What's that, where they, you know, when they, Bay Car, you know, so it's kind of like, yeah, it got a little bit out of hand.
Oh, it's way out of hand. On that note, we gonna go on a commercial break. We need to get off. I'm tired of talking about cops. They hurting my, give me a headache. So I'm going to go old school with it. You might remember this. I'm going back to the Lynch Mob, Lord Have Mercy, off their album, Gorillas in the Mist.
Oh, hey, I got that album on my iPod.
Good ass kicking wouldn't happen.
Lord have mercy, the devil, he cursed me. I heard you had a cup of life, and I'm thirsty. My nigga keep fighting for a street the white man owns. So many died before they got full grown. Plus I got an ingrown toenail. I sit back in the window and watch all the hoes spill. A lot of ass for a blast.
That's right.
Plus my little sister is getting fast, using old niggas for financial aid.
What?
They picking her up from the 10th grade, and a Jeep they try to creep. Taking her ass to never sleep. I admit I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Did what I had to do just to get dinner. But I was told you was the first
Jeep. Oh, shit.
LA is a war zone, Lord, so could you have mercy?
Fuck, Jesus is.
I admit I don't call too hard. I wonder why I don't live in a coffin. Cause I know a lot of my homeboys pray, but when it was time they still got sprayed. The grass is greener in my neighbor's yard, he's white. So his house is barred up by the windows and the door. But my mom's got a cleaner fucking floor. They won't let us in.
That's right.
Even if we learn to act just like them.
What?
But if you don't learn, you plump on a road to sleep, forever on a jail pump.
Oh,
but I ain't no punk, and I won't get punked by the system, so I gotta diss them. I was told you was the first Jew. Something ain't right, Lord, so could you have mercy?
That's right.
You know who the fuck Jesus is.
That's right.
I'm dead, so bury me alive under all this bullshit and job. Cause I know when you made stop think so shitty, it wasn't done intentionally. Cause I looked back before the crack, before the Mac and motherfucking Cadillac. It was the same old thing. But nowadays, niggas more brainwashed, and I can tell every time I see L.A. Compton and Long Beach gangs talk. I wish when my pops got the erection, he would've used protection. And I wouldn't be a squirrel trying to get a nut. And I want the nut just to get some butt. It's like the battle of the sexes. My head spins around like I needed an exorcist. But if you blew up the world today, it wouldn't matter.
Nope.
Just send down a ladder to the people who had it the worst, G. I'm asking you, Lord, please have mercy.
With your host Dick Hugger. That was Blast from the Past, the Lynch Mob, Lord Have Mercy. I love that song, but I love not every song, but I love the majority of the songs that I play. Anyway, I of course want to hear from you, so if you got something to say, you got any opinions on what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, what we talking about here, you can give us a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, you can give us a call at 646-929-2037, or you can do like some of our bloggers that we already have here. You can talk to us on the Smooth Drama Live, or you can go into the Blog Talk chat room and holler at your boy. I will holler back. I promise. I think. Anyway, now, it's, you know, I was talking about the cop shows, but there's the religious holy war thing going on now, where everybody's up. Well, you had the guy down in Florida, you know, should have known it was Florida. The guy down in Florida talking about he's going to burn the Quran, and he's upset because he was promised by a Muslim cleric that they had agreed to move the Islamic Center, which was planned for the site near Ground Zero. So just in case you haven't been paying attention to the news, in New York, Ground Zero, where 9/11 attacks happened, they're planning to build an Islamic mosque, which, of course, people have been in uproar over. And they're like, no, we not going to have that. They attacked the World Trade Center, and then they're going to build a mosque there. No, big deal. So, moving forward, we get this pastor, Terry Jones, out of my favorite state, Florida. You know, my love for Florida just swells bigger and bigger. He was talking about burning the Quran on September 11th. Now, he had backed off of it for a minute because he said, you know what, you know, I received a sign from God, and the Muslims allegedly, according to him, promised to move the site from Ground Zero in New York. But now it comes out the cleric said there was no such deal. And our pastor, our favorite pastor down in Florida, Terry Jones, says that he has clearly been lied to. So he's reconsidering going through with his burning of the Quran. For those of you who do not know, the Quran is the Muslim Bible. So basically, it would be like Muslims on whatever day, maybe Christmas, saying, I'm going to burn the Bible. And so, here we go again. Well, I got an idea. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. We should get these dudes in one of these football stadiums, soccer stadiums, whatnot, and let the jihadists on one side and the Christian warriors on another side, and, you know, whether it be the Taliban, the Klan, the Christian, whatever, White Knights, Citizen Council, you know, so many of them, let all them come together, and y'all just fight it out. And let that shit be on pay-per-view. I'd watch it. And, I mean, it'd be like the old days of the Crusades, and y'all could, like, raise some money to help whatever charity. Well, not whatever charity y'all choose, because obviously the charity you're going to choose is going to be some ignorant shit. But I'm saying that it would at least, y'all can take that hostility out on each other. And it's so many times that the extremists on this side and the extremists on this side, y'all don't never attack each other. Y'all attack folks that ain't got shit to do with it. Look, me and mine don't give a damn about what y'all talking. You know, I point out to the terrorists, so-called terrorists, whatever you want to call them, jihadists. Y'all not hurting nobody. I mean, you don't, when you blow up some shit like 9/11, even though I think that was concoction, but that's just me. When you blow up your average American citizen, the government don't give a shit. The government don't give a shit about us. You ain't hurting nobody. I promise you. The government is like, yeah, we hated their ass too. So you don't do nothing. You strike no blows at the imperialist power. I promise you. Conversely, like this pastor here, burning the Quran and, you know, the people who are going and attacking Muslims, who got nothing to do with blowing people up. You're not getting the folks that you need. Y'all need to get at each other. My idea, I'm putting it out there. Somebody else run with it. Can we call Rupert Murdoch? I know he would try to film it. Maybe he can finance the pay-per-view. We get Bob Arum, Don King, get all these groups together and make it happen. Blow each other up. Fuck, I mean, if it's brass knuckle, whatever your godly weapon of choice, put them on and y'all go for it. Pay-per-view, big time. It'd be like the Crusades, the 21st century. And y'all handle your business, settle the beef once and for all amongst yourselves. I think it's a great idea. I don't know about anybody else, but for people, I know for me, I'm tired of seeing y'all go back and forth and y'all getting the wrong people. It's like, you know, we can throw these gangbangers in also, because y'all nothing but terrorists in the hood. You're not doing anything positive. You're not building nothing. You ain't protecting the hood from nobody. Y'all are the ones that make the hood bad. The hood is bad because of you. It ain't because there ain't no money there. It's because y'all are there fucking shit up, robbing folks. You robbing people that ain't got shit. And I don't understand that. You can poor is a mentality. And it's terrorists all over the globe. Poor is a mentality. You know, educate yourself and bring yourself up mentally. Then physically you can come together as a coalition and make some shit happen. But what y'all doing? No. That shit is not working. At least it is not bringing no good. And then on top of that, y'all never get, y'all aim so bad, you don't have no training, y'all shooting, you need better aim. Shoot yourselves, shoot at each other, and hit each other. And it'd be all good. Not that I'm advocating the violence, whatnot. I'm saying stop the violence, but if you just gotta shoot somebody, shoot y'all own ignorant asses. And that's it. Oh, and I don't even know why I'm bringing this up, but the whole Stephen Hawking controversy, God didn't create the universe and folks is going crazy behind it. I'm like, look, y'all listening to a man in the wheelchair who's messed up. I don't even know what the big deal is. You know, I see the story. I've seen people talking about it, and I'm like, why? Does it matter? Of course he's going to say there's no God. He's fucked up. A lot of people, I'm sorry, but a lot of people who are fucked up tend to not think there's a God because they're fucked up. Right? Right? I'm saying, you know, not condoning what he's saying. You know, I don't mean to laugh. I'm just saying that look at it for what it is. This is a man he's messed up. Yeah, he's not going, hope is not high on his list. It's not on the grocery list for Stephen Hawking. So when he says stuff like that, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not really shocked by it. It kind of makes sense to me. Maybe if you think about it the way I'm thinking about it, you'll see that it makes sense to you too when we talk about despair for his condition. Now, what doesn't make sense to me, I know we made the announcement, we're out of Iraq. We're out of Iraq. we are bringing the troops home. Unfortunately, it's not quite like that. It seems that there are some U.S. troops still in Iraq. Because I guess there's a Iraqi forces was battling against insurgents, whatever the hell an insurgent is. You know, it just sounds to me like criminals trying to battle to be in charge, whatnot, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, criminals, or it could be Iraqi patriots who are against the imperialist people who sided with the United States. You never know. It's all subjective. It all depends on what angle you're looking at it from. Anyway, they call in U.S. troops to help them. And I guess, excuse me, under the deal, U.S. forces remaining in Iraq, unlike U.S. forces remain, I thought troops was gone. They was going to fight the good fight in Afghanistan, you know, where supposedly the real terrorists are. Because they're out there somewhere, right? Anyway, they can only participate in operations at the request of Iraqi authorities? Really? Maybe I'm listening. But isn't the point you bring the troops home, supposedly, allegedly, you're bringing them home, they're not going to be in Iraq no more, mean they're gone? And they're not there to fight in civil wars no more. You supposedly trained the Iraqis to fight their own battles. You know, the whole self-determination, y'all control your destiny. Now, of course, I know we gotta be subliminally there. We kind of still gotta run it, but still, it's kind of disheartening. It's not necessarily disheartening for me, because obviously I'm not in danger. You know, nobody's shooting at me, but it seems like a lie to the American people. People who have loved ones over there still, I'm sure they're not happy about it. I wouldn't be, for obvious reasons. You know, you have family members and they're supposed to be out, but now they're fighting there again. I mean, it was bad enough we switched them from Iraq to Afghanistan, and now they're just, if you were supposed to leave Iraq because the Iraqi authorities request you, you have to stay there to fight in that bullshit. Yeah, not a good situation. But on a lighter note, I read, for those of you who are interested in this, I read that if you have garlic breath, if you drink milk, it goes away, according to some bullshit study somewhere, which I think is funny, because it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but just the fact that somebody said that your breath stinks. You don't get a Tic Tac, you don't get no gum, you don't brush your teeth, you can drink milk? Really? I find milk repugnant. And it's not just because I'm lactose intolerant, it's just milk stinks. I don't know. I mean, the fresh aroma of milk, you just open up a bottle and smell it. Milk smells so good? No. And milk is supposed to get rid of my garlic breath? I'm thinking if you have garlic breath, let me say it right, if you have garlic breath and you drink some damn milk, You run me away. You have lost me for that period of time. So long as you can't, the tic-tac, you don't think the tic-tac would help. You don't think that the gum would help. And this is actually me talking to these stupid-ass researchers, because if anybody takes the side of these researchers and think that I'd rather drink milk to get rid of my garlic breath over a tic-tac, something is wrong with you. Seriously. And it's probably something wrong with me, because I'm actually talking about this shit when I really shouldn't be, because it makes no sense whatsoever for me to be talking about that. So, I'm going to talk about something serious. You know, I like to talk about rights and things that should be just a right. Like, there was a adult entertainment establishment in Imperial Beach, which is in San Diego County, who the city council imposed regulations on them. A place called Romantic Bookstore in Imperial Beach, which is in San Diego County, that they have new guidelines which include video surveillance, a smaller area inside the viewing room, and better lighting. Excuse me. Now, I'm thinking, and maybe it's me, if anybody else who's ever been to an adult bookstore, isn't it like against what you're trying to do? I mean, if you, obviously you're going to an adult entertainment business because you want to see some freaky shit, which is your right to do as an adult. I mean, because one, we're not talking about the establishment is in trouble because minors were there. We're talking about adults. So now, supposedly, they have to videotape everybody who goes in. Why? And they have to have better lights? Why? I mean, you want them to, the quality of the porn in the light to be better? Is that what it is? I got to watch my porn in better light. I got to light it up. I mean, I'm not getting it. In smaller viewing room, why? Why the viewing room got to be smaller? I'm not getting it. You know, these people who make these laws, it goes back to what I'm talking about when I talk about people who legislate morality. As a grown-up, I have the right to watch porn if I want to watch. If I want to watch it in the establishment, I want to get out the house, I want to get some air, it's my right to do it. I'm a grown-ass man. Grown men can do grown men shit. Not harming anybody. Now they're saying it because there's prostitution and other sexual activities which were taking place in the store. So some nosy folks had the sheriff's department to investigate. But once again, it's their right. I mean, obviously they're going to the store because they want to see something that has something to do with sexual activity. And it's their right to do it. I'm not understanding what the big deal is. You know, now we know, of course, that they're talking about the prostitution, like people would meet at the adult business and do their prostitution business, whatnot. And you know me, if you listen to the show before, I don't I don't think that prostitution should be illegal. I think prostitution should be legal. It should be legalized and cleaned up so you can get some of these dirty pimps and you can stop some of the, what you call the slavery, the illegal trading of the young boys and girls, because that's the reality of prostitution as we know it now. I think if you legalize it, you take away some of that stigma and you actually help clean up that. But conversely, this right here, you know, if a couple goes to an adult entertainment establishment and they want to watch a movie, they have the right to watch it. And if they want to rub up against each other, they kind of have the right to do that. You know, if it's consensual, what? You know, I don't get who's getting hurt here. I don't get it. Maybe somebody can explain it to me. I mean, obviously, the people who would try to explain it to me would be, for lack of another word, religious, extra religious. Y'all should stop. Legislating morality is wrong, and it will never be right. And if there are people out there who wanna watch that, you don't agree with it, you have a right. I mean, as an American citizen, you have a right not to go there. It's for an adult. And if adults choose to do it, an adult has the right to do it. And on that note, I'm going to take a brief commercial station identification smooth drama break, and I'll be right back.
Like smooth drama, drama, drama.
Yes, sir.
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 Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool, acting a fool, acting a fool. With my man, DH, y'all know him as, and Butter Butter, Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. That was my man, Cam Wee. Cam Wee. Can we? I said his name right, but because my name is Dick Hugger, he won't say my name. What kind of shit is that? You know, every time I listen to that, I keep waiting on him to say it. It's like, say it. Say Dick. Say. For some reason, he will not say my name every time. And I am shocked every time that he does not say it. Why, I don't know. But, oh well. Such is me, being crazy. Now, speaking of being crazy, you know, I was talking about the cop shows and do we really love the cop shows. This generation's fascination with jail, you know, the jail shows that are on TV, it's numerous ones. I don't know the names of them because I don't get it. I don't see the fascination with grown folks in jail wanting to rape each other and kill each other and people wanting to watch that. They're fascinated with it. No. But it was in our dumbass segment here. Eric Bishop and Justin Forkham, who managed to escape from jail, stole a pickup truck, got some drugs, but instead of trying to get away, they were trying to sneak back into jail. Now, they was given 5 years a 5-year mandatory sentence for being caught escaping from jail. But, I mean, do you get a penalty for trying to get back in? And my question is, why in the hell do you want to go back? I mean, is jail that nice? I mean, maybe I'm missing something. This is like the third time this year somebody's tried to break back into jail. And then there was one guy who went out and just stole a candy bar so he can go back to jail because he didn't want to be on the outside. I'm like, is it that tough out here? I mean, I know it's hard times, but jail that nice? Shit. I guess them three hots in the cot and all the that male bonding that goes on in jail is way too appealing. No. Anyway, speaking of breaking in, now, it is a case of an old man who broke into the home of his female neighbor, who was 64 years old. His name, Lawrence Saunders, he was in her house, and he was butt naked, waiting on her in the bedroom. Didn't quite work out for him, and the woman saw him, grabbed him by his beard, and drug him out the house. And he tried to, I guess he tried, but she hit him in the head with a tape measure a couple times and, you know, got him out. But it makes me ask this question. Ladies and gentlemen, what would you do if you had someone in your house waiting on you? Now, would it matter if you found them appealing or not? Is that part of that double standard? You know, because we know a lot of times when we see situations like this, if they're unattractive, you're like, I'm calling the police. But if they're attractive, you kind of laugh it off, let it go. Do you go through with it? If you know the person and you found them appealing and they were in your house, they surprised you, you found them attractive, do you hang out with them? Or do you call the cops? Does it matter the attraction? I mean, is that what it is? You know, I mean, that's... Well, my blogger said that they cooked dinner. No, I don't think he cooked dinner. I mean, is that what it is? I mean, I was talking about it the other day. The whole Fantasia, you know, Fantasia... with the married man and whatnot, and everybody was talking about her. But Alicia Keys did the same thing, and nobody said nothing. Now, I wonder, is it because Alicia Keys is more attractive than Fantasia? You know, is that why? It's a valid question. I mean, it goes back to what I'm saying here. I mean, do we take offenses better when we find a person attractive as opposed to if we find them unattractive, then hell no. I mean, it's sort of like the cute guy or the cute girl at work who smacked you on the ass. You're like, ah, But then you look, oh, such and such smacked me on the ass. That's cool. Or is it? Yeah. I don't know. That's what we're talking here. You know, I mean, speaking of attraction, non-attraction, in the Congo, the mass rape, they said the UN, who coincidentally has the largest peacemaking unit in the Congo than anywhere else, there was a mass rape that went on, and they put out tentative numbers, which they said was 154. Now they're coming out and saying that it's more than that. There are more people reporting, so it's almost double, triple. Now, I've seen a couple of documentaries. I've never been to the Congo, obviously, but I've seen some documentaries on there, and you know how I talk about how they talk about women and how women aren't shit there, basically. There's a documentary, Cry Rape, that I could not finish, which dealt with that. They're mutilating women, raping them with sticks, whatnot. And this Congo rape was particularly galling because, once again, the UN had a huge force there, but didn't seem to matter, didn't help anybody. And it was a mass, I mean, how is there a mass rape where over 200-400 women get raped all at the same time? I mean, that's ridiculous. Make you wonder. Makes you wonder. I mean, instead of having them troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, send them boys to the Congo, and all the people who want to shoot up people and kill, that's the perfect place to go. Get all the rapists. Yes, I said it. And on that note, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my man Black Steel for calling in and hollering with me. I want to thank you, the listeners, the bloggers, for your participation. New Orleans Saints, we're on our way. Oh, big shout out also. I said I was going to give a big shout out to my old co-worker, OG, double OG, triple OG, Gretchen. I'll holler.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Come on.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drummer.